Welcome to the Decentralized Consciousness podcast, where I today have Sartog. Welcome, Sartog.
Thank you. Good to be here, Sam.
We have been interacting in the past in a course maybe a half a year ago, and we also interacted before that with some individual sessions, and I thought it was time for us to catch up and see what's been going on since then, and how you're getting on with this adventure on this planet at this time. So where should we start? What comes up for you?
That's a good question. I guess we could start with what's most present for me, which is interestingly one of the main issues, the main topics, I guess, that your course was built around, and some of your parts of your course were built around. And that's really the topic of finances and money and abundance, and it relates to a lot of other things like time and spaciousness, how I'm spending my life, what is meaningful to me, all those types of things it kind of connects to. But it's a topic that continues to be important. I mean, we live in a world with money, kind of need it to live. And so, and I'm not yet at a point where, and I don't know if I ever will be, or if it's possible to be at a point where, you know, I don't have to think about money at all, right? But yet there is kind of this, it's always been in my mind, as far back as I can remember, this dream, this vision of one day, someday in the future, I'll have enough money where I don't need to worry about money. And I can just do whatever I want with all my free time. And I think that illusion has, over time, it's become more clear to me that that is an illusion, and that has been pulling me into mental patterns of frustration and things like that. So one aspect of your course that was really helpful for me, and it to be very honest, it's taken a long time to integrate and process, and kind of in cycles, just working through things as they come up, but just being more in flow. So rather than trying to control so much of my situation, I think I'm a very good strategizer. You know, I've done pretty well for myself financially, I think. But and I have attributed that for so much of my life to the mind and my ability to control. And so giving that up in any degree was scary. But there's another aspect, I guess, that you have pointed to a lot for me personally, but also in the group in general, and that is just this idea of flow. And kind of the way I'm experiencing it now is also, I guess, another word that comes up is trust. And like I don't know, you know, what direction things are going to go in my life. I kind of have an intention, but you know, I can't really control ultimately what happens, is my sense. And I think the power, the joy, the presence that comes is in an acceptance of that, and in the ability to really be present with what's happening now in the moment, and like fully here and enjoying that. Trusting that whatever does happen will be what happens, and I'll be able to be present for that too. And and things will work out. So that's kind of a long, I guess, introduction, but that's kind of what's up for me at the moment in a general way.
Yeah, I think this is a good topic. So you talk about financial abundance, and we have the point where we start to accept the idea of this place that we are financially abundant, or we are not bothered with money. It's just like we have money because we are a soul on this earth, and we just exist, and we just have enough for what we want to do. It's like a state of consciousness. And we get this idea that, that's maybe it's possible to achieve. And then we see, this person has achieved it, or maybe that person has achieved it. And we start listening to them and see what did they do to sort of get there. So when it goes from an idea, a mental construct, and then moving towards realizing this is a lived reality, that's the process that you've been going through, and you're somewhere in that process right now. Could you talk about some of the different steps that you have gone through, or some things that has happened in your life that has evolved you towards this abundance consciousness?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I mentioned, most of my life has been very much just the working, controlling, strategizing kind of mindset. And, you know, from a purely, you know, financial perspective, I have a business that you could say is successful and allows me a lot of time freedom. I have various other investments. And I think if I, you know, if I continue strategizing and going this route, I could probably, you know, quote, retire within 2 or 3 years or less, depending on how things go and what's out of my control. But it's like that, even when I get to that state, I can look ahead and say, you know, I'm still going to have many decisions. What am I really going to be wanting to do with my time then? How will things be different? It's like there's still so many unknowns that I may be a completely different person, with different, you know, things I'm interested in, or you know, feeling like I'm wanting to go in a different direction. I really can't predict where I'll be so well in a few years, just judging by how much I've changed so far in my life and the different aspects of growth that have caused things to shift. But I mean, more recently, especially since, you know, I started working with you and have just been more intentional, I guess, about releasing this mental anxiety, this financial anxiety. I'm starting to see, you know, more and more, and getting glimpses here, and then really experiencing it more in depth for a few days here, and then going back into the cycles. It's a process. But some things that have been helpful for me, well, of course, just things like meditation. Like, some things are hard to trust, though. They were hard for me to trust. Like, one of the first things I remember you told me that was powerful, but challenging, was just when I find myself going in a mental loop, or like trying to strategize, how can I work this out? What would happen here? Like, I'm in the shower and I'm just like so intensely like trying to plan and think, recognizing that and just stopping, like realizing I don't have to finish the thought. I don't have to finish and think through the whole process. Just let it go, you know, enjoy the shower. That was a huge challenge. But I'm learning to do that more. And just, as I go throughout the day, and I have different tasks that I do, different, things, whether they're work related or home related or food related or whatever, just focusing on doing that thing, and realizing that I don't have to always have in my mind, in the back of my mind, these thought processes that are kind of usurping every other element, every other aspect of my life. It's too much. It's too much. And I recognize that that's not healthy. And so, I mean, I guess that's one of the first keys, is just recognizing that, yes, I want to change that. And then I guess another step was, after recognizing it, being willing to actually practice and put in the effort, do something that's going to make a difference. And a lot of the practices that you've taught, the meditations, little things like letting go of thought, things are helpful. Those types of things can be helpful. And I think maybe different things will work for different people, different times. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I could probably talk more, but I think I've talked for a while now. I'll let you jump in.
Yeah. In this process, going from a pattern lifestyle of planning and strategizing and moving into towards flow, then as we drop the force to figure things out, we drop the thoughts in the shower, as you mentioned. Could you describe what is coming in instead? So if we focus now on the sort of the problem that is fading in this process, what is the other side? What is coming in, and what is becoming more present in your life as you go through this process?
Yeah, well, it's more peace. It's and more trust. So, like right now, I'm facing another big decision that just came up a couple days ago, a few days ago. Someone wrote me asking if I would be willing to sell my business, which is something I had thought a year ago that I would do, and I tried to sell it and it didn't work, and so I decided to keep it and grow it, and it's growing well, and I'm feeling like I could run with it. And now here's an opportunity to sell again. And like my mind immediately wants to, okay, well, if I did this, what would that happen? What are the different scenarios and how would they play out? And trying to figure it all out. So what's happening now is I'm recognizing that. And yes, I'm still doing some of that, but what's coming in is this sense of, I don't have to figure that out right now. Like step by step, feel into how things go. Maybe talk to the guy, see if there's a good fit there first. See, maybe he'll do due diligence. He won't even want to buy the business. So why waste time thinking about all that other stuff right now? So just taking it step by step, feeling into it. And that's on the financial end, but just in general, just with time management and living in flow, what's coming in is just more presence and more enjoyment of the things that I'm doing, more awareness around like when I'm going to do an activity, committing, this is the activity I'm going to do, I'm going to be here for it and do that until it's done, or until I feel like I need to switch tasks or take a break or whatever. But and thoughts will come in, they always come in, and I can be aware of them and everything, but just more presence, more peace, more enjoyment, I think, are the main things that are coming in when I am able to practice that well. Something else that has helped with this to a degree is, and this is probably very influenced not just by the group and everything, but by my continued journey with psychedelics. But I took 3.4 grams of psilocybin, my largest dose ever. I've only done mushrooms twice, but it took me to a place where I very much experienced the illusory nature of this reality and recognize that what I'm experiencing here is like maybe I don't need to take it quite so seriously. And you know, just I don't know, that also has helped me be a lot more present and recognize that, you know, the point of this all is not, I mean, I can give it whatever point I want in this life and really get focused on that and angry if it doesn't work out and all those things, but beyond just experiencing things and enjoying things, I mean, what other point does there need to be, you know? So that has been an interesting
yeah,
part
let's
of my
dive
journey
into
as well.
That
yeah.
a little bit. So you have a recollection of being in that liquid reality state where you realize that you are creating pretty much everything. Is this what you experienced?
That is what I experienced, yeah. This the continual cycles of like falling into illusion and then waking up from it. And yeah, it was amazing.
And but then it can create sort of a disconnect between such an experience and everyday life. Like it's two different worlds somehow. Because it's difficult to combine the knowledge from such a trip to the Tuesday afternoon and business meeting. So how do you consolidate those experiences?
Yeah, so the integration aspect is you know, a challenging one, and I think it comes like most things for me over time and in cycles, but it's for me, holding on to the memory of that experience is helpful though. It's kind of almost like an anchor to come back to when I forget or I get lost in, you know, getting too caught up in reality and then just realizing, oh, well, I'm just caught in the illusion and I'm just waking up and it's okay. You know, it's part of the process. And there's nothing like, you know, what's happening is happening. And it's just, it's a reminder for me to be present for it. And I guess one of the challenges that I had in the trip, just really a mental challenge, really. It's just this, my mind is like, well, what's the point? You know, I'm like, there needed to be a point. And, you know, kind of, I don't know, confused about like, well, why are we even here? Why are we even doing this cycle thing? And what is going on? So, you know, releasing that is, and being aware of that and just like accepting whatever is coming up, enjoying the process. I'm just, this is all very, I'm doing like this Tai Chi motion with my hands right now. I can't explain it, but, yeah, there it's a complex reality, and I don't know, you know, so much. There's so much that I don't know. And so just being here, you know, playing in the reality is I guess what like if I'm here, if there's like a part of me that's chosen to be in this kind of physical world on Earth with the circumstances I have, well, what kind of an experience do I want here is another way to play it, right? And like if I'm going to be here for the next however many years, what can I do to make it, you know, more pleasant? Because I think I would rather have a pleasant experience here than an unpleasant one. So I mean, that kind of grounds me a little bit too, thinking through like, well, I am here, so let's not just try to be in the clouds and try to live in the other reality, because I am here, and this is something that can also be, I mean, it's part of my experience, so let's be present for that too. So I don't know, I'm rambling a little bit, but that's just kind of what's coming up.
And can you remember in your trip what what your observation were of the financial anxiety patterns. Like, why are they in your experience in this body at this time? Where do they come from? Why are you punished in this way that you have to suffer
with financial? Yeah, you know, the financial stuff did not really come up at all in the trip. For some reason, that just wasn't really something I experienced. I don't know why.
But maybe you got like a general idea of why we have challenges here.
Well, I got the sense that, like, in whatever illusion I'm caught up in, there will be emotions and things I'll experience. Some of them will be very positive, some will be very negative, and it's just a matter of rolling with it, going with the flow, right? Accepting those emotions and experiences that come up and like being with them through it, because that's what I'm here to experience, because that's what's here. So rather than fighting it, flowing with it, I guess, is the main message I got about challenge. And yeah, I don't know about like a why for that, except to experience it, because that's maybe what I'm here to experience this time around, or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like you have these part of you that is still a little bit worried about money. And then you have this part that don't even think about money. Like you said, it was not even a question. And in those higher states that you talk about with the mushrooms, it's like, so of course, that time and space are just concepts. It's like inventions that we have created for just to experience something new. So in that space, the problems are seen as not real at all. It's just different patterns, different frequencies. And when we are in this state that we understand that everything is a miracle, that we have a body, and that we it's day and it's night, and it's all these things that we have in the physical reality, it's just everything is just very, very miraculous and magical. And so that's sort of the natural way of seeing the everything in these higher states of consciousness. And that's from that perspective I teach these courses, you know. So when I say, you know, we don't have to worry about anything, and actually we can't control anything anyway, and actually the more you try to control, you actually only create problems for yourself. And the problems that you try to solve is the same frequency as the origin of that problem. It's like the problem and the solution are the same, and so none of them are needed. So as long as we try to fix problems, we're just causing disturbances in the field, because we can't really decide anything. And the more we just allow the flow, like you say, we just are aware of the fact that we don't have to worry about anything, and we will always have enough money for whatever experience that we are going to experience. Because if we can't choose anyway, if we are rich or poor, it's just we are going to have an experience, and we might be poor or we might be rich, but it's out of our control. Then it's no point sort of trying to move things in one direction or the other. Like you said, it's just different things that we just experience. And maybe from a higher sense, you were you want to, you have an intention to experience how it is to be poor, for example. And if you would then fight that, you would have a life of strife and struggle and suffering. If you just allow that, you would just have a beautiful life as a poor person. And it doesn't have to be filled with expensive things. Now I'm the one rambling. Any comments about that?
That's good. It's good. I was going to say I don't have the experience of being poor, but I actually do. Maybe not to the degree that some people do, but early in my life, and I grew up with in a family with not a lot of money, so I kind of know a little bit about what that's like. I mean, I was never homeless or anything like that, but there's a part of me deeply that feels like it knows that no matter what circumstance I'm in, happiness is an inner game. It doesn't really have to do with outer circumstances. Yet there's another part of me that recognizes that things can certainly be a lot harder or easier, more unpleasant or more pleasant based on external circumstances, whether it's ability to take care of oneself physically and have good health, or like being surrounded by people yelling at you all the time, or, lots of violence or things like that. I mean, obviously that would be a more difficult experience. Maybe again, if I were in that situation, I guess it would be the situation I was in. I'd have to deal with it at that time, I guess, in the whatever way it was coming up for me. But yeah, I don't know.
So if we value all experiences as equally interesting and fulfilling, if that is being poor or if that is being even bullied or something like that, it's still a valid experience. And comparing to not being in physical form and always being constant peace, it could be interesting to experience whatever we experience here. But then when we come down here, we get the conditioning that we should try to control our lives into certain directions that people deem positive. But this positive and negative is just part of the duality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the sense that it's kind of boring if nothing ever happens. If you're always experiencing the same thing. So the range of emotion, both the challenge and the sadness, the positivity, all of it is kind of a necessary part of the experience at one time or another, in one life or another. I'm curious, Sama, to hear a little more about the course that you are starting. What prompted you to create it, and perhaps also why the hiatus?
I feel a little bit uncertain of the word high authors. Could you describe that?
Oh, just you took a break for a few months, it felt like. And I was gone as well, so it could have just been me. But
yeah, it's connected to this topic. It was I had aligned my life to be financially supported by Sama Katharo, and what I experienced was, so I left fiat society and then I created Sama Katharo, and I just went with the flow and things happen, and It felt like I'd never have to go back to fiat life ever again. But in that process, I also experienced firsthand the corruption of being a spiritual teacher and being financially supported by others in terms of just the frequencies flowing in through me, because I didn't control anything. So it was just frequencies flowing through me, and those frequencies started to generate an income, so I could let go of the mainstream society. And I was really happy about that, because I had some bad experiences inside mainstream society. So I enjoyed being in this bubble of sovereignty. But it also created other types of stress where I had to ask for money to be able to support my family. And Samakataro, coming from being my passion project and absolutely not done because of financial gain, ended up being for financial gain. And that was a very strange situation to be in. So then I dropped my prices and went on a value for value standard, because that is my belief system, that we will just have enough money for what we are supposed to do. And if I was supposed to be a spiritual teacher and a healer and a guide for people, then the universe would support me, even if I don't charge from the people who benefit from my frequencies. So I had the frequencies beaming out from me. I see myself as a sun, basically. It's just shining in all directions, and then I'm just guided to do different actions. And I didn't want to charge for that sunshine, because we are all one, so it makes no sense that I would give something and someone else have to give something back. So my concept was that universe will find other ways to support me and my family without having to sort of burden the people around my podcast and around the community, right? Because it didn't sit right with me. And as I did that, I started dropping Samakataro, because it had turned into this job. And then I was just sort of asking the universe, how are you going to provide for me and my family? And what is my path? What should I do? And that's when other opportunities open up in the fiat world. And then I had to process a lot of fears around the fiat world. And I had to process my traumas from being inside the fiat world. But when I did that, I started to enjoy the fiat world. And it didn't feel like a job anymore. It just felt like an adventure. And then that comes with a fixed income, or it comes with an income that comes every month. So the fiat world, instead of being this place, nasty place with a lot of negativity, became this, wow, they're paying me per month, and I can just play around here. Because I had cleared so much in my role as Samakataro, so when I went back to the fiat world, I didn't have those problems and those limitations anymore. So it was almost like an amusement park. It is still like an amusement park where I, because I feel like you said in that, like in that trip, that's how I feel at work now, because I feel that I create every minute of my experience inside the fiat world. So every person that come to me and every challenge that come, I just see it as gifts. It's, maybe it sounds silly, it sounds like something maybe that I'm just saying, but because it is typically something that a spiritual teacher would say. So I hear myself like, ah, oh, this sounds so cheesy. But this, it's actually my experience. And then when I did that, it was like Samakatara became this playground again, where, so it has gone, it went from a playground to become a job, to become an obligation, because I have obligation to the family. But then that changed when I surrendered to the universe, and then the universe has got this other adventure that is bringing in money. And then Samakatara, like, wow, then I can be there and I can be that playful thing that I was in the beginning, where before it got serious with money and things like that. And now I'm stepping into this space where I can be both in this fiat physical reality, and then I will be able to have this cosmic Bitcoin consciousness reality. And like it looks now, it's this, it brings abundance to my life to have several universes that I live in. And the financial burden is gone. And that's the space I'm have come in. And then this course came, like, you know, it's quite similar to AI, because I started working with AI more. In my fiat job, I use AI. And then in the Samakatara job,
Fun.
it's similar, because it's like, it's almost like I'm typing in into the Samakatara command box, okay, what's next? And then it's like I get like a description for a course. And then it just goes with the flow, everything, posting, setting up, and much less worried about the outcomes, because I feel so supported that nothing can touch me, nothing can hurt me. Everything that comes is just gifts, and sometimes they hurt in the beginning, but then the light inside the gifts shows.
That is
Yeah.
beautiful, Sana. Yeah, wow. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. So it sounds like you're finding joy in working in the fiat world, in that, well, in many ways, but from a financial standpoint, that's where you're, I guess, getting that kind of stability. And then Samakataro, you're still living out, but it's kind of it remains a passion project. And you can do it on, in addition to the fiat job. It's not like an either or thing that you were kind of seeing before.
Yeah, because I surrendered, so I had no idea at all what would be happening to me. It felt like something beyond me was just changing my life completely, and I didn't know how it would end up, if it would be a complete cut off. So I did consider very seriously to do a Satoshi Nakamoto and disappear forever. I was somehow attracted to that concept. And I also wrote on Twitter, we are all Satoshi. And I felt, oh, maybe I should do a Satoshi. And I think that was part of the letting go process of that dysfunctional samakatara that had been created, because I didn't want to continue like that. So it was like that part had to die by me coming to terms with that I would never, like that I would not meet people, like I would not have this interaction with people in the community.
This is really interesting.
That was a little bit tough. So I had attachments. Oh, I still have some attachments to the community. But I reached a point where I was ready to let that go also.
Wow. So that brings up a lot for me, to be honest. This is something I've been dealing with for a long time too. I used to write a weekly newsletter that I send out to a few thousand people. I think that's how you found me originally.
Yes.
And then over time, it felt like to me, first of all, it almost became more of a chore, and to like find inspirational things to say or whatever. Like I felt like it had to be inspirational, right? Or say something that was worthwhile or would help somebody or whatever. And then I also started getting some one or two just, you know, people writing mean things, as people do when you get a big enough list. And so I was like, I don't want to deal with that drama. My wife was also kind of done with the attention for her family. So I thought, well, I'll just stop this. And, you know, still occasionally write an email to family and things about what we're doing as a family and all that. But this loss, because in a way that was a community for me. It was like, it was a way for me to connect with other people, new people I didn't know, people I have met in the past who were interested in what I was doing or interested in me. And all that's just gone. The time I was little, whether it was cultural conditioning or personal development books or whatever, there's this, or religious conditioning, idea that I had in my mind that I have to be, have to reach my potential. In order to do that, it's like, I've got to serve others, do something big in the world, you know, save the world, become a savior, basically, right? And the more I can do that, the bigger impact I can have on the more people, the better my life is. And if I don't, you know, if I only interact with a handful of people, then my life's kind of worthless, right? I'm not living up to my potential. And that is a belief that I'm starting to realize, again, that may have been limiting me from authenticity, from happiness, and even from impact in certain ways. So when you described how you created the course as a passion project without an intent or money or whatever, like there's a quote that I absolutely love, and I feel like it's the main thing I need to embody. It's from Howard Thurman, and it says, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. I love that. And for me, there's the letting go of this asking what the world needs, you know, maybe it's the entrepreneur in me too. It's like, well, what are the problems I can solve, right? Rather than, what am I passionate about? What do I love doing? What am I inspired by? And then doing that and like trusting that it will filter out and there will be a ripple effect and it will, you know, affect the people it needs to affect in the way that will be beneficial. And that is a life well lived. You know, as long as I'm continuing to work on myself and be kind and all those types of things, right? So this is a bit of a ramble again, but that's kind of what that brought up for me. I'm curious if you have any thoughts or comments on that.
Yeah, so do you feel that you abandon your community? And do you feel that you got stuck in a role with your community that sort of was holding you back? And to be able to maintain these people that keep reading, it's almost this idea that you need to stay the same because they are keep expecting you to be the same. So you want to sort of deliver on the promise that you made, and then it's not okay for you to be go and change drastically, which has been happening to you, right? And then how do you then convey that to your audience? And then will you get drama from that, or will they drop off? Will they not accept you for who you are now? How is that going? Is it any chance you want to reopen the list and as an experience of expressing your true self, or are you done with
that? Yeah, like I have considered that and almost did it recently. But there's another aspect of it that has been holding me back. Well, first of all, my wife doesn't really like the idea of having so much attention drawn to our family. And I can understand that as well. I mean, I don't really want to be famous. I'm a little bit of, I value my privacy, I guess. I value not having a lot of, I don't know, too much attention, distraction, or risk of, like, you know, if there's people who might want to do me harm or whatever, if there is a disconnect, I don't know. So there's risk involved, I guess, in putting myself out there too much. And so there's a little bit of a fear that I recognize there that has been holding me back too. And I'm not sure. And part of that is coming from my wife. So I also want to respect that. But yeah, it's been difficult to play around with that element as well.
Yeah, so then is the question also, are those fears helpful, or are they just limitations?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah, and like as far as do I feel like I'm abandoning, like that I've abandoned my audience? And in a way I do, yes. And there's a part of me that really does find satisfaction and joy in writing and in sharing what I'm learning with others. Like these days I am having so much fun playing with AI and like researching all these new tools and seeing what's out there, and I love sharing that kind of stuff. But like when I write about that kind of stuff to my family, no one really cares. You know, a couple people might write back and say, "Yeah, that's cool," but it's not the same as if I have a community that is actually interested in some of the same things I am, you know, and wants to explore with me. So I do miss that sometimes.
And then you have the option to just start from scratch with an anonymous name.
That's true, yeah. Another thing that came up for me when you were talking about your Fiat job and the work, the passion project you're doing on the side, and the way that you're enjoying your Fiat job now, which before you didn't, you kind of dreaded, or I don't remember the word you used, but for me it's kind of similar in that my business, it's a business that I'm not really passionate about from an industry standpoint, but I do have skills in building business and I guess management and stuff. I've learned those skills over time. I don't feel like I'm a great manager, but I didn't really enjoy the business. It was kind of like, well, I'm just going to build this up, make some money and sell it. And, you know, it was purely a financial play. And then when I couldn't sell it last year and I was working with you and going through a lot of these things, I made a decision at one point, like, if I'm going to keep this business, then I need to do it with good energy and with an intention that is something, I mean, I need to be able to enjoy it, right? And I thought about how can I really do that? And I decided to put love into the business. And yeah, that sounds cheesy, but that is what I decided. And I thought about the different ways that I can infuse love into the business and caring about the customer, caring about my team members more, connecting more, and also enjoying the process more of you know, the organization of things and strategizing. And like I'm at a point now where I actually am finding myself enjoying working on most aspects of the business. I'm finding, so I have a log that I keep of everything I do during the day, and I also rate how much energy each task gives me or takes away from me. And I'm finding, well, now most things give me energy, whereas a lot of things used to take away energy. But the business is giving me more than I expected. And it also helps that I have a team, and I've gotten it to the point where I'm really only working about 5 or 10 hours, maybe sometimes 15 hours a week on it. So I still have free time for other things. And I'm seeing the business grow. I see a lot of opportunity to, you know, tweak things or add on things that would help it continue grow and continue serving customers and different types of customers. And so I could see myself continuing to do this, and probably enjoying it. And over the next few years, it would probably reach a point where it would completely support my family and probably be fine. But then there's an element for me, especially when this person wrote wanting to buy the business and thinking, wow, well, if I sell it, you know, what will my life look like? Will I enjoy that process more? You know, I'd probably put most of it into crypto before the next cycle. And, you know, there would be a lot of more time that I'd probably have to spend over the next couple of years doing that. But then, like, I don't know what would happen. It would eventually, maybe I'd have more free time. Like, I'm going into the mental cycles again of like my thought process of like, should I buy, should I sell? But this whole idea of what do I enjoy? What am I going to enjoy more? And I realize I can enjoy probably either way, which also makes it really hard to to decide which direction to go. So yeah, that's I guess a bit of a dilemma for me that I've been facing. Is when you know that you can enjoy, you know, two different actions, how do you choose which one to do?
Yeah. What comes up for me is that it's different qualities of flow. So if it's a business around survival, it can only go to a certain point of joy, because it's sort of, you do something to get something, right? If you do something to get something, you're in this conditional sphere of consciousness. And then that can spill out in different areas of life. So then you get used to that, doing something to get something. So also from your family members or friends, it's like, yeah, of course, I do something and to get something, do something to get something. And then what I would categorize as deeper flow or unconditional flow or total surrender is when we stop that process of doing things to get things. And that's like a higher quality of flow. that also spills into every aspect of life, and we stop expecting things because we don't do things to get things anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the place.
So, yeah. If you sell the business, you would have much more time and space for that kind of lifestyle. It would be 15 hours less per week of doing things to get things. And then you would still play out some patterns, so you would still try to put your money in the place where you think they will grow, and so on. You will keep active, but since you're not so involved with that, you will be sinking more and more into this, knowing that everything will be okay. So it's not that big of a difference if you buy a real estate or if you buy a Bitcoin or if you buy something else, because it's not about that. It's not about what you do. That's the old consciousness. We think it's about what we do. And it's like in the beginning, we have a million doing patterns. And then we go on this process, we start letting go, and come down to maybe a few thousand doing patterns. And that's when they start to become more obvious. And then we let go of also them. And because it becomes easier and easier to see the stupidity of doing things to get things, because you're basically bargaining with yourself, because you're creating your own reality, and you're setting these conditions that, okay, in my reality, I have to do that to get that. Okay. And why would you do that? You don't have to. So then you come down to a few hundred. So then you have a few hundred doing patterns that will stand out as big red flags because you already gotten rid of so many others. And then, what about if I don't have to do anything and I will just have everything? Whatever I imagine. And you start to design your own reality. You start to see those patterns that your reality is built up on, these do to get programs, and that they are not necessary, that all of that can be automated. So it's like how to behave with business partners, for example. If you have a program, say, yeah, with business partner, I have to behave like this, 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 otherwise something bad would happen. And that's, then you keep those patterns, and then you meet business partners and you behave according to those patterns. And it works. But then you figure out it's not necessary, because you're doing something to get something. And if you don't need to do that, you just let go all of those. And then when you meet your business partner, everything is just going in the flow. And it's actually even more flow, because, you know, you are projecting images on him that he have to adapt to. But if you don't even do that, he is also in the flow, and you sort of help him to drop his projections. And then you're just standing without projections. And then the business is something you do, but it's the connection, node-to-node connection between you and that person. So the doing to get something is just sort of like filters between other people. It's just stopping the flow of love to flow between us. And when we have the guts to let go of those, then the others also let go of theirs. And then it just becomes this exchange of limitless source frequencies that both of you become abundant, and it's not really about to business anymore, but you become friends and and you travel the world or whatever.
Yeah, it's like doing something to get something. It's like it's just how we're taught the world works, right? It's kind of
it's the old operating system.
Yeah.
It's not necessary anymore. So also in my Fiat job, I have a growing circle of people on the same wavelength, so to speak. And sometimes we fall back into old consciousness, but then we pick each other up or we remind each other, that was the old consciousness. Yeah, that's right. And that circle is just growing and growing every day. Because it's just love is just wants to grow. And when you get people together who allow the source frequency to grow, then it grows even faster. And it's like people just drop the brakes, no more brakes, and just let's see what the source can bring, and just let's work with the source and support whatever happens, and sort of work with this invisible hand that is controlling everything, so to speak.
Yeah, I think there's also something to be said for paying attention to what comes up. Like you were in a state of working through what you were going to do with Samakataro and figuring out how money was coming, but then you got an opportunity came to you, and you know, you didn't say no, I'm not going to do that, I'm focusing on Samakataro, you know. You kind of said, well, what does this mean, let's explore that, you know. And it led you to where you're at now, and it kind of reminds me of what I'm seeing with, like, yeah, I've kind of like I'm building this business, I've decided that's what I'm going to do now, and then I get a message from somebody who wants to buy my business, and I can say no, I decided to focus on my business, or I can say, well, what does this mean, why is this coming to me now, and explore it. So yeah, yeah. I mean, things come up when they
also what helped me in the process was it's this modality out there called human design. And it's astrological based system that you, based on your birth date and the time and the place you were born, you get this profile. So they created this system for all humans. And my profile there when I did that was wait to be invited. And that was something I had not really thought about. And it connected with this do something to get something. So I was so used to doing things to get something and to be sort of like tunnel vision of trying to achieve things. And then this just opened up, even if I didn't know if I would believe it or not, but just that possibility that this might be true, like that the human design system might be true, that just opened the door for me to consider a deeper surrender where, okay, what about if I just drop everything and just wait until someone invites me? And that's pretty much what happened.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
interesting. I haven't looked into human design, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, so that's just one type then, where that strategy is recommended. So different types have different strategies how to navigate life. And asking to buy the business, it's quite similar to an invite. It's like coming from nowhere, and it's just, you know, if you create your own reality and you surrender to universe as you've been doing, then this is what you created. You created someone who wants to buy your business. While last year, you tried to find people to buy your business.
Yeah, right. Now they're coming. It's so interesting too, because I was looking over my, I write a little journal thing every morning and every night. And part of it is kind of inviting, you know, something into my life. What do I want to invite into my life? And I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but it was something along the lines of what he was offering in his message to me in selling this business, even though I'd forgotten that I'd written that. And the other thing is, he's quite persistent. At first, I kind of told him, well, I don't really think I'm interested in selling. And then he kept writing back, and I said, well, he said, well, what would work for you? And it's interesting, because it feels like it's flowing, even though, I mean, I haven't even spoken to him yet. It's just been a few emails, but, and I don't know, maybe he'll end up still not wanting to buy, but I can flow either way, I think, at this point. And that's, I think, the point for me, the thing that I'm learning, is that I don't have to be so attached to one outcome over another. Like I can trust that I can flow with whatever's coming up and be okay. And it's still a process of learning that, but that is what I feel like I'm learning.
Yeah. Becoming neutral to the different outcomes, and then the most effective outcome is what's going to take place, because the universe, the creation, is seem to me at least to be this hyper intelligent thing that just is looking for the most effective way to grow and expand. And so if we are set on one outcome, then maybe we are forcing things in the least or less effective direction. But when we are neutral, the universe can step in and say, this is the most effective for you and everyone. It's these win-win-win things that keep happening when we let the universe decide. It's this win-win-win for ourselves and the other part. You know, and maybe it's his passion project. This, your business will be his passion project and part of his process of finding his greatest joy in life. And
Yeah, I don't remember who said it, but some great spiritual teacher said something like someone was asking him how he experiences so much peace or joy or whatever it was. And the thing he said is, I don't mind what happens. And I love the simplicity and profundity of that. It's kind of encapsulates the idea of, like, just not, that whatever happens, it's okay. Like, I don't mind. I can roll with whatever comes up.
Yeah, speaking of which, what is coming up now? Are we coming towards the end, or is it anything coming up for you that you want to go deeper into? Let's take a moment, feel into the frequency, environment, time frame.
Just one small thing. Another way I've always tried to control my life is my time management. My wife is very different in that she kind of flows more intuitively in how she goes about her day, whereas I plan everything out with hundreds of tasks in Asana that move, quarterly, yearly, monthly, weekly, daily, and come up for me in the right times, and I write down everything so I don't forget it. And I plan on my calendar, and it's very meticulous, and it takes me hours every Sunday to go through all my tasks and figure out what I want to do when during the week and everything. It's pretty intense. And a lot of that is also reviewing like personal development, things I've learned, or reintegrating things. But I'm exploring more now, this more intuitive approach to time management, where I remember you kind of encouraged me to do this early on, at least for a few hours a day of just like, sitting and doing what you feel inspired to do, rather than what you planned to do or what's on a list or whatever. That was very difficult for me at the time, and still is, but it's something I'm delving more into now. And there is a book that I'm just started reading that is helping a bit with this, called Time Surfing. It's by a Zen monk who writes about this in a very simple and easy to understand way, and I'm liking the approach. But so far, like I don't think I don't know if I'll get to the point where I'm like I totally eliminate all of my to-do lists. I do remember one time when I kind of did that, when we were traveling, and that was very nice. But I think just in general, feeling more into my body, and like what is it that needs to be done? Do I need to take a break now? Do I need to like what needs to be done? And kind of like just trusting my intuition that what needs to be done will come up in the right moment and will get done, rather than relying so much on the mind and the mental lists. So I just wanted to share that because it's something that I'm exploring right now. It's something that it was in part inspired by you. So, and I'm feeling benefits of it so far, at least as far as my presence. And yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So I was living 2 years without this, and then I feel I connected to my sort of animal self, as the physical body is sort of like an animal that wants to take care of itself. So when I don't have these ideas how to live or what to do or anything like that, then what kicks in is these instincts, which is sort of self-care. And so the animal aspect is making sure that, the fur is good, that we are clean, that we are healthy. And if you run into some person with stressful energy, then like a dog, or they just shake it off and then they are back to center. And I find myself doing that kind of stuff. So the animal self is sort of taking care of itself and the environment, and that's beyond mental concepts. It's not like reading in a book that you should massage there and you should. No, it's everything is sort of instincts, and the body is massaging itself. It's drawn to certain foods, and these things. It's a flow. It's like animalistic flow that sometimes can be a little bit sort of embarrassing. So it's possible to have this little bit of a control that, You know, you don't scratch yourself violently in public. So it's, you can sort of adjust the flow a little bit, and then allowing those self-care movements that sort of need to happen, that set aside time, or it's just, actually I used to set aside time, so I created like a backlog of things that my body needed to do to balance itself, and then when I came out to society, I was not able to do them because I judged them as inappropriate. So then I created like a backlog, and then when I came home, I did like 1 or 2 hours when my body could just do whatever it needed to do to balance itself. And maybe the point where I'm coming here is like, now when I'm in the fiat job, I thought I had to deal with a backlog again, and I thought I had to set aside time. But this time is different. It's like time and space is created for me when I need it, where my body can rebalance itself, like a dog or a cat, so it's automatically creating breaks in the day, and I'm just sort of guided to go to a place where I can be myself completely. I can scratch myself or massage myself or whatever I need to do. It's all happening automatically, like an animal. And then I have come to that centered place, and I'm ready to go out into society again. So it's inside, in society, I do get a little bit damaged, so to speak, as an animal, because everyone is operating with these projections. So they are not in that animalistic flow or instinctual flow. So they keep on projecting their mental ideas onto me. So I'm sort of damaged by that. But my guides, or whatever you call them, my guardian angel, just makes, every time I have an intense encounter, I get time to recover. So it's not that... And this is the big difference, I think, from before, because then I would go like 6 hours, and I would be bombarded with all these different frequencies, and I didn't allow my body to center itself. I didn't allow to rebalance myself because I was worried I would get fired or something like that. So I had to create these like 6 hours of a backlog, and then I was completely exhausted when I come home, and then I had to then. Oh, I said to my wife, now I need, you know, to sort out my backlog and meditate and find my peace so that I could be a nice father for the rest of the day. And I think this is the big difference from before and now, that it's happening sort of included in the program, so to speak. It's not so black and white, if that makes sense. Yeah, if we tie this into your obsession with the calendar and tasks, then, you know, if you structure everything like that, you don't create time and space to be guided from within. So instead, it's like, yeah, maybe you set aside 1 hour. This is where we learn to be this animal self. And that's a very, very sweet and good animal. But in the beginning, it can be a little bit damaged animal. Yeah. But this animal just nature learning. Is something that is beautiful.
Yeah, like tuning into, you know, like I feel like when I allow myself to like not go so much off of a calendar, like some days, like I'll still have a few ideas of what I want to do, but I'll try to stay tuned in, you know, to myself. Like, what do I really feel like I want to do right now? Like, what is coming up for me? And when I give myself the freedom to do that, it feels good, you know. But I sometimes have to fight the mind of like, but then I won't get done with this or that or whatever. So that's been the process I'm working through and getting better. But yeah,
Yeah,
that's
and
this
I find that those thoughts, have to do, have to do, have to do, when you allow your body to just move freely, when you find this safe space and allow your animal nature to come through that animal flow or that's true self flow. It's just different words, or the ego, the positive ego that takes care of you. Then every one of those thoughts is connected to sort of a movement. So these patterns, because it's sort of ingrained in our nervous system. So every thought is also like a like a stress thing in the body. It's sort of grounded in the body. And when we allow that physical movement to play out. So instead of doing the action that we think we have to do, we allow the movement to just shake a little bit or to just whatever the body wants to do. When you allow the body movement to flow, the thought connected with it disappears. So that's what's happening in every one of these reset sessions. So I allow every pattern in my energy field to be played out by the physical body. And then you just go like poof, 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 until it's completely quiet.
Like you're doing somatic experiencing on yourself.
Yeah, it's like
It's cool.
trauma release or something like that,
Yeah.
which it feels like that's just the natural state for this animal self. It's just he doesn't
Right,
like
yeah.
trauma, so he feels the trauma is stressful, so he figures out how to shake it off.
Yep.
And we are so conditioned to not do strange movements with our body, so we're
Yes.
blocked in that process.
Right.
So I think what I see here in the future is that people will start moving in interesting ways. I mean, if it's an enlightened society where people just naturally wants to shake off negative patterns that are bothering them, then we might see on the streets people just going like shake it off things,
Yes.
and that will be the new normal. Because everyone will then understand, oh yeah, he's just shaking off like a dog, it's just normal.
Yes.
But
Reminds me of the image that came to mind are those the AI videos that are you can generate now. I don't know if you've seen those, like Pika.art or one of those places. And people are like you give an image of a person and say make it dance or whatever or move, and it'll sometimes get two three arms or but whatever, or it'll just move in really weird ways. But yeah, that's
yeah, I think we have to
funny.
get used to some new, because basically we are living out our, ancestors' movement patterns that we just inherited, and we are sort of holding on to them and thinking that they are normal. But from my experiences, that we have to go through a phase of really weird movements, and then on the other side of that is these beautiful movements, like that are completely in the flow, and they are like harmony with the universe. So you will just walk in the center of your city, and you it will just flow. And how that feels is like the sun that I talked about, that I experience myself as a sun shining out in all directions. It's like when I walk, in my inner vision, I just see the sun moving in time and space. And then I just allow the body to do whatever it wants. And sometimes it still does some funny, strange stuff. But sometimes I get this flow walk, when it's just walking, like it's not even walking, because you're sort of beyond the physical realm, and the body is just moving, like energy flows.
Do you have any, or have you experienced anything like, I notice my body doing almost unconscious twitches, whether in like my hands will kind of like shake back and forth a little bit here or there, my face will twitch. And it's pretty common, like it happens a lot for me, maybe even more than it used to. I wondered if that's just like, you know, related to stress, or if there's some thought pattern that I'm holding on to that it's like trying to release, and it's no matter how much I do it, it doesn't make it release, but I'm not exactly sure how to stop those ticks from happening.
And this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I envision myself holding courses, physical courses in the future, where we will do this, and we will somehow become really good at this. And this unconditional love that we carry inside, when we allow that unconditional love to be applied to our movements, that's when a tick, you allow that tick, and that tick turns into maybe some kind of repeating action, and then that repeating action turns into a tense movement when you tense your whole body, because you're coming into the core of that trauma, and you are just feeling that, and you may get visions from a previous life, and you feel that until there's nothing more to feel, and then that tick is gone. And that's going to happen for all of us more and more. So what I'm saying is that we need courses for everyone to learn how to deal with this emotionally, mentally, and it's just to apply a lot of unconditional love, because the more you can allow your body to be strange, categorized as strange in duality, the faster that process will go. If you judge it as strange or bad, then you're blocking the healing process of that. So every tick has to be played out until it's forgiven, until it's loved, and until it feels understood. And I think this is actually a big part of the new mission, or the new Samakataro, that this is what we're coming into. And if, for example, because I've gone through a lot of this, and for example, seeing ourselves in the mirror is very sensitive for many people. And I can just say, as a pioneer in this, that when I look into the mirror, it's a lot of different faces coming up. Twitches, like moving into like an angry face or a worried face, and different emotions being expressed in the face. And the only thing that is sort of constant is it's sort of a spark or a light behind my eyes or behind the face. And then that light inside or behind the face is what we should focus on, and then allow the face to change in any way it wants. It just transforms, morphs, and because that's like your uncle will become in there, and your childhood friend, and then your wife or your daughters, and because you have taken on patterns from them. You have frequencies that are theirs inside of you. And then if you focus on the face, their frequencies will show up in your facial expression. But to not be afraid of that, and to embrace that and focus on that light that is coming through, and that light can sort of go dim a little bit. If it's like a demonic face coming out, then it's like you can hardly see the light, but you know it's there, so you accept the demonic face to show itself, and you apply unconditional love to that demonic face, and you realize it's been part of you for some time. It's a frequency of a darker nature, and you see it and you accept it, and that's when the light starts growing again, and the next phase will be a more positive one. So these sounds are the kind of things that I feel that people need to know, because things are going to get weird, judging from my own experience.
Well, I'm glad you're here doing this work, Selma, and creating these courses and guiding people through these things. I think it's valuable.
Thank you. And it's been great talking to you, as always. To future interactions with you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me on, and it's been a pleasure to talk, as always.